This is WHCC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning, Ken Pozicki, the attorney. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Duke.
And what are we going to talk about this morning?
Oh, anything but the weather.
Anything but the weather. I'll go along with that. Yeah. Okay. So if anyone has any questions, give us a call. 395-1450. A legal matter, that is.
Yeah. Or else we could talk about how to teach the Red Wings to actually win a shootout.
Are they still playing?
They lost a shootout last night. And those guys, bless their hearts, they can't win a shootout to save their souls. they must have lost 10 games this year on shootouts. Now, the good news is they get a point in the standings, but they tie it up at the end of the regulation. They play through the overtime, and then they always lose in the shootout.
Hmm.
So they got to figure out a way to win one of those.
But, the only sport I watch on in the wintertime is Michigan State basketball, and I'm required to do that, my wife says, because she went to Michigan State.
That's all right. And you married her anyways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. That's good fun. Yeah, but lately I've been a hockey fan, but yeah, it's all good fun.
Yeah.
Basketball, football,
hockey.
With
the end of the year upon us, should we be thinking about some things to do?
We should. And again, when I was here in October, we talked about the relatively new law that's been extended to the end of this year that allows folks over the age of 70 to give money directly to charity out of their IRAs.
Uh-huh.
And I have not heard whether that's going to be extended into next year. I hope it is. But for those folks that have not done their year-end charitable giving, you should look at whether or not it would be advisable to take money out of your IRA and give it to charity.
Yeah.
Especially for people that don't itemize. If they don't give enough to charitable organizations to warrant itemization of their tax returns,
right,
they can give money out of their IRA, and they never have to pay tax on that money. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's obviously with year end stuff coming up, we got a lot of charities that are really in need of money, and this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
But we got it. January 1st is always an interesting time. We look at the different tax laws that are going into effect. In terms of Michigan law, there is a change that's going to take place in January 1, and that has to do with transferring real estate to your kids.
Hmm.
As it stands right now, if you had a cottage on Lake Michigan, or if you had a house in the city, when that property gets transferred to your children, whether it's by a gift, whether it's through your will or through your trust, when that property goes to your children, the assessed value of that property bumps up.
Oh.
Bumps up to the assessed valuation. See, right now, most people have two values on their home. They've got the taxable value,
right,
and they've got the assessed value. And a lot of times the taxable value is very, very low compared to the assessment, especially if you've owned the property for a long time. And it's no more true than properties on Lake Michigan, because a lot of properties on Lake Michigan, if you've owned it for a long time, it's got a very low taxable value, a very high assessed value. The problem is when you try to pass that property to your kids, the taxable value uncaps and jumps way up to the assessed value,
mm-hmm,
which typically results in a radical increase in property taxes, and a lot of times the kids that get the cottage can't afford the property taxes,
right,
because the taxable value jumped all the way up to the assessed value. Beginning in January 1 of 2014, parents can transfer residential property to their children without an uncapping of the taxable value.
Oh.
And that's a huge thing. For a lot of my clients who have cottages or houses on any water, whether it's Lake Michigan or Higgins Lake or, you know, up in Traverse City, the ability to transfer property to your kids without triggering that uncapping of the taxable value is a huge thing, which means that hopefully the property can stay in the family for future generations.
And save them a lot of taxes.
And save them a ton of taxes.
Yeah.
because, you know, when property uncaps, a lot of times, again, the kids can't afford it. They end up selling it. And, yeah, the kids get money, but I think a lot of kids would rather have the house on Lake Michigan or the cottage on Big yeah. Star Lake or something else rather than the money. So it's an opportunity for people who have residential property, again, cottages, homes, certainly vacation properties, to pass those properties to their kids and mm-hmm. keep it in the family. So I anticipate that a lot of clients are going to want to be doing that after the first of the year. So that's a big change and it is an estate planning mechanism as well.
Yeah, good. Got a call here. Good morning. Good morning. You're online with our guest. Well, I guess they didn't stay with you. If you have a question for the attorney, you may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open at the moment, and get it while you can.
Get it while you can. That's right. Free legal advice. The other thing that, again, it's not really a year-end issue, but I would advise people, there was a change in the law about 4 or 5 years ago regarding health care directives.
Mm-hmm.
And the change was, but prior to the change in the law, you could name somebody to make medical decisions for you if you became incapacitated. But it only could be for medical decisions. You could not appoint somebody to make mental health decisions for you in any kind of a document. The change in the law allows you to name somebody to make medical decisions, and you can allow that person to make mental health decisions too.
That's important.
That's very important.
Got a call. Good morning, online with our guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing over there?
Good.
We're warm and toasty.
Warm and toasty. That's good to hear. Well, we lost power for a little bit this morning in Holland Township. I'm wondering, I just heard Ken talking about the tax law, and is that just in Michigan or is that...
No, it's only in Michigan. It's a state-specific, yeah, and it's dealing with real estate taxes. So,
okay.
So the if you have a property that has a low taxable value, you can transfer it to your kids, and the taxable value will not go skyrocketing up to the assessed value.
Okay, I have a question. My mom is almost 92 years old, still lives in her home.
Okay.
My dad passed away this summer,
mm-hmm.
and we were wondering if it would be a good idea to put the house in my brother's name versus in her name to protect it from an asset when she would go into a nursing home at a future date?
The short answer is it's a possibility. It's a tool you can use. However, you have to be mindful that if she does transfer the house to your brother, if she tries to go on Medicaid within a 5-year period,
mm-hmm.
that transfer is going to be it's going to result in a penalty.
Okay.
Now, you can undo the penalty by having him give the property back to your mom. So,
we're hoping we don't have to put her in a nursing home.
Yep.
We're praying that she, you know, God takes her from her home, but
yep.
you never know. So.
Yep. Yep. But what a lot of people don't realize is you can always undo a gift
okay.
by giving it back. So
okay.
if your mom were to transfer the property to your brother,
mm-hmm.
and 3 years from now something happens and she ends up in a nursing home,
mm-hmm.
You can undo the penalty by having your brother give the house back.
Okay.
Now, if your brother, you know, takes the house and sells it, well, now you're going to be stuck with the penalty. But you can always undo a penalty, and that's true of gifts of real estate. It's also true of gifts of money. A lot of people give money to their kids, and they try to wait out that 5-year period. But you can always
mm-hmm.
undo it by giving the money back.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say categorically it's a good thing or it's a bad thing,
okay.
but it's certainly something you ought to look at.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
All right. What about we have a I'll talk to you about it another time. Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
You bet.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah.
You can always give a gift back, huh?
You can always give a gift back. And again, as long as the person can return it. So, in other
yeah.
words, I take that back. The return of the gift has to be the same item.
Okay.
So if I, and again, a lot of folks will, you know, mom will give a bunch of stock to the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. And if the kid still has that stock, he can give it back to mom to undo a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But if the kid takes the stock and sells it and puts it into something else, some other kind of investment, well, you can't return it anymore because you don't have it. The Medicaid laws say if you return the gift, there will be no penalty.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Isn't that called the Indian giver?
Yes. Pretty bad. It's probably not the politically correct way to call it that, but it's a gift. Yeah, you need to be able to return the gift, but it's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so this time it's a willing Indian giver.
Okay, so if I give you my Bentley,
I better keep that Bentley. Yeah,
and you give it back to me.
Not a gift.
Then it's not a gift.
It's not a gift. You can return it. There's no penalty. So really, there is no risk of giving assets to your kids,
right?
Provided you trust them, or provided they're they're trustworthy folks.
Yeah.
But again, you need to give them something that they'll put in an account somewhere, and they keep it so that if something happens, they have it to give back.
Okay. And we got a caller here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, if I have four kids and I want to transfer my estate, my property, could I do that, transfer it into all four of their names?
Sure. Sure. Now, that's not without its problems, because if one of your kids, dies, the question would be, moving forward, if you give the property to the four kids, you can do that, and there's no uncapping. But what happens if one of your kids dies, or one of your kids gets divorced, or one of your kids files for bankruptcy? Having the kids' names on the deed gets to be a sticky issue. But you certainly can put all four kids' names on it. If the kids decide to sell 5 years, 10 years down the road, all four of them will have to sign off, which means any of the four of them can say no. But certainly you can transfer property to all four kids and avoid that uncapping that we were talking about.
Okay. So if I do that prior to going to a nursing home, what is that, 5 years?
It's a five-year look back, yes.
Okay, so if I give them just 5 years prior to anything happening to me or my wife,
yep,
then there's no penalty.
Correct. That's absolutely right. You want to give while you're, young, relatively young and relatively healthy. Because if you see something coming up, if you've got early onset Alzheimer's, for example, by that point, it's probably too late to avoid that 5-year look back period. But you can certainly do that. Again, you need to be careful of the tax implications for that too. If you give up a valuable piece of property to your kids, you have to tell the IRS about it.
Uh-huh.
Now you notice I didn't say you have to pay tax.
Right.
You have to tell the IRS about it, and you have to get an appraisal of the property so that the IRS knows the value of the asset that you gave to the kids. But the reality is you've got a $5.5 million exemption, so unless you've given your kids $5.5 million, you don't have to worry about paying any gift tax. But you do need to notify the IRS that you made this gift to your children. But it's a very effective way of, for lack of a better word, protecting that asset from being counted as an asset for Medicaid purposes.
Okay. Also, like you said, if I $5.5 million. Okay, if I was to win the lotto, and give them money.
Right.
How much money can I give them a year without them or myself being taxed on?
$14,000 per giver and per recipient. So if you're married, you can give $14,000 to your son. Your wife can give $14,000 to your son. You can give $14,000 to your daughter-in-law. Your wife can give $14,000 to your daughter-in-law.
Is that per year?
Per year. Yep, and you don't even need to tell the IRS about that. The only time you need to tell the IRS is if you give more than the $14,000, what they call the annual exclusion.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
now to win the lottery.
There you go. That's the key. That's the initial premise there. Now, and again, to the caller's point, a lot of people believe, mistakenly, that if a parent gives their kid $10,000 at Christmas time or whatever, that somebody has to pay tax on that. The reality is you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid doesn't have to pay tax. That's not income. A gift is not income. You don't report that on your income tax return. Likewise, as long as the gift is less than $14,000, the giver doesn't have to tell anybody about it.
Hey, that's a nice arrangement.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. You're online with our guests here.
Yeah, I was just wondering his opinion on if you sell a house for sale by owner, you can print these buy-sell agreements that are out on the Internet to go through who's doing what.
Right.
Are those trustworthy and legal and binding, or do you recommend actually coming to, like, your office to have a buy-sell agreement done?
You know, if it's a straightforward residential sale, you probably don't need anything fancy. Okay. Having said that, what a lot of folks will do is they'll get a pre-printed form from one of the real estate websites. But they're binding, yes. They're legal, yes. But depending on the circumstances, if there are environmental issues, or if there's a problem with the roof, or there's a problem with water in the basement, the boilerplate forms that you get off the internet might not cover that.
Okay, but if it's pretty straightforward, you're just talking about surveys, pest inspections, title insurance, all the norms, the ones off the internet are perfectly good and should be plenty good to take to the bank.
Again, categorically, I can't say they're all good, but most of the ones that I've seen are sufficient.
Is there one in particular you've seen out there that you'd recommend?
You know what? I've got the one that I've drafted over the years. I can't speak specifically, but if LegalZoom, I'm sure they've got their documents are typically pretty good. U.S. Legal Forms typically has fairly decent documents. But quite frankly, if you're, and I don't know what they charge for those things, but you know, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to sit down with a real estate attorney and use their template, because that's what it is. If somebody comes into my office, I don't draft a brand new purchase agreement for each real estate client. I have a template that I work with, and I delete the provisions that I don't need, and it basically fill in the blank and check the box. But you know, it's probably going to cost you a couple $100 to have an attorney draft it for you. So you can use a document off the internet, but you do so at your own peril. Again, I'm not saying this to drum up business for myself or any other attorneys, but you know, for a couple $100, you can sleep at night knowing it's done well. And if something happens, you've got recourse.
So for just a basic, you know, nothing special, your standard price is $200 for something like
that. Yeah, it's right up a couple $100. Yep.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Thank you for the info.
Thanks for the call.
Time out.
Tune in and learn more about current events and future plans at Holland Public Schools. Looking ahead with Holland Public Schools Wednesday mornings at 9:20 on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station, and WHTC.com.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning, Jute, and your guest.
Good morning.
Is it wise to have a real estate transactions done through a title office? That's my question. I'd like to have him answer that.
Okay.
Yes. Next question. No. There are two questions there. One is, do you have the title office handle the transaction? I guess the other question would be, do you get title insurance? You should always get title insurance. Okay. I learned the hard way that you got to have title insurance. Even when you think everything is great, you should get title insurance to protect the buyer. If you have a title office handle the closing, they will take care of recording all the documents, recording all the necessary papers with the township or the city. In my opinion, that's a much better use of your money than having an attorney do it. For example, they'll do it for $300 or $400. They'll handle a closing for $300 or $400, where an attorney will probably charge more than that. So I liked using. I had a closing on Wednesday. I used a title office, and I'm a lawyer. I used a title office. We got title insurance. I just want to know that everything is up and, you know, done right. So the short answer is yes. I like title offices, and I certainly encourage people to get title insurance and a survey when they buy a piece of property.
Okay. And we got another call coming in. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to ask the attorney about that gifting.
Sure.
If there isn't any taxes on that, how does that affect that five-year look back on Medicaid?
You know what? It's a real good question. The answer is there are two different things you have to look at when you talk about a gift. The $14,000 gift rule that we were talking about is an IRS rule. Okay, the IRS doesn't want wealthy people giving all their money to their kids to avoid estate tax. Okay.
Right.
Medicaid, there's no exclusion for Medicaid. There's no $12,000 or $14,000 exclusion for Medicaid. Uh-huh. Medicaid counts everything that you give away within the 5 years prior to your applying for Medicaid. So please don't be misled in thinking that the $14,000 rule applies to Medicaid, because it doesn't. The $14,000 rule is a tax rule. If you apply for Medicaid, You need to let them know of everything that you've given away. $25, $2,500, $25,000. There is no exclusion for Medicaid.
Okay.
Very good question. Thank you for that.
You bet.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning. I have a question. I don't even know if he's going to be able to answer this, but he is an attorney. I'm here in Colton. Are there any rights to grandparents anymore, seeing children?
No. The short answer is probably not. Okay, and again, I don't do family law work, but I know enough to be dangerous, and I know this, that if the parents of the child are living, okay, so let's say there's an 8-year-old little girl, and her parents are living. In Michigan, the grandparents really have no right to see that little girl. Now, if the parent, let's say in this situation, there's an 8-year-old little girl, and her father dies. So her father has passed away, and so she just has her mom. In that situation, grandparents can have rights to see the little girl.
Well, here's my dilemma. Okay,
yeah.
My granddaughter,
yeah.
So this would be my great-granddaughter, okay? She lost custody of her children. I took in my great-granddaughter for 9 months,
okay?
Then the other grandma fights for custody, her mother fights for her, and she gets her, okay?
Hmm.
Well, I am having some real issues here. If I don't abide by all her rules and everything, she will not let me see my great-granddaughter, and I am just beside myself. I was hoping I could get a lawyer.
Yeah.
I fought for guardianship for Little Mercy, and I'm going to say her name. God bless her. Pray for the family.
Mm.
But anyway, it's just breaking my heart because now the other grandma sues because I didn't do something just right. She's never going to let me see Mercy again.
Yeah.
And now it's been 2 weeks, and I'm just going, I've been really praying about it. I really was hoping you would give me a better answer. But
I wish I had one. But if it's any comfort, I've got a handful of clients who are in a similar situation where their daughter-in-law or son-in-law will not let them see the grandkids, and it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. But in Michigan, grandparents really have no rights whatsoever regarding the grandkids. So yeah, that's just the way it is in Michigan. I don't agree with it. But that's the case, and unfortunately, it's affecting you.
Yeah. It is terribly. Yeah. Is there any way we can write to Congress, government, or somebody saying, "Hey, if we could petition together, possibly get this into the court system"?
Well, a lot of folks have tried that, but unfortunately, it's a lot more complicated than that because, you know, especially in this day and age of second and third and fourth marriages, how many grandparents, you know, do you want in the formula? You know, I agree. You're being caught by by the law, and a lot of other folks are too. But I'm sure that people have been contacting their legislators to try to change the law. But I've not heard of any proposed legislation to change it at this point. So unfortunately, that's the situation.
Thank you very much. All right. Quick look at the weather here. Weather brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Now featuring caramel apple French toast sticks. And the weather outlook is for snow showers tonight with a low of 21. And tomorrow, snow likely with a high of 24. Today, we're looking at no snow showers possibly with a high of about 20 in the upper 20s today. Wow. Right now, it's 26 degrees. We've got time for one more call here, I think. Good morning. You're online with the attorney.
Oh, good morning. I don't know if you can help me with this or not, but I this summer I had built a garage. I got a building permit through the township and everything, and I was about on one of my eaves was hanging over my neighbor's property by about 4 inches. And my place where I got my permit, I don't want to mention the township or whatever. But they came back and they said, well, you know, you have to either tear that eave off or get some kind of an easement with the property owners. Then we'll never approve your finalization of your permit.
Yeah.
And so right now I'm in limbo with that garage. I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. I could probably end up tearing it back down. But, you know, it's a very, very expensive thing to do. But and if I tried to tear off 4 or 6 inches of one side of the eave, it would look really, really bad.
Sure.
So what knowledge do you have that might be able to help me with something like this? Is there such a thing as, you know, getting an easement or?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And that's where you would do well to sit down with an attorney and look at the situation. There might be something you can do with the township. There might be something you can do with the neighbor. But that's where you should really sit down with an attorney with a fact-specific situation like that.
Okay.
And it might cost you a couple $100, but it's going to be the best couple $100 you've ever spent. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself in a world of trouble.
Okay, and we're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you.